The Gemara says in Psachim, in Arvei Psachim, Amar Rav Bruna, Amar Rav, Hanotel Yadav Lo Yikadesh. And the Rav Zichrono Levracha in his Yartzeit Shiur was very fascinated by this Gemara, especially the Rambam's take on this Gemara. Because if you take a look, he's saying Hanotel Yadav Lo Yikadesh, which means that he shouldn't make Kiddush at all. Why shouldn't he make Kiddush at all? Because apparently, if he would make Kiddush, it would be a hefsek between his Netilas Yadayim and his Bracha on Hamotzi. And that's indeed, if you go through this Rashbam, maybe we'll see parts of it, that's how Rashbam interprets the sugya. But the Rambam has a whole different take on this sugya. The Rambam is claiming that this whole sugya focuses on two options of Kiddush. There's an option called Kiddush al Yayin. There's an option of Kiddush al Pas. And even if he intended to be Mekadosh al Yayin, once he washes his hands with Netilas Yadayim, he has already committed himself, so to speak, to be Mekadosh al Pas. So when it says Hanotel Yadav Lo Yekadosh, it means Lo Yekadosh al Yayin El al Pas.
Tell it to Yekis.
Right. We're going to get into the Yekis soon, okay? But why is the Rambam pressed in that direction? The simple pshat l'chor is with the Rashbam. Hanotel Yodav, you have a problem because it'll be a hefsek between, the Kiddush will be a mafsek between your Netilas Yadayim and your Hamotzi. And the reason for that is if you read the next piece in the Gemara, which the Rambam wanted to harmonize both pieces in the Gemara. Omaluhu Rab Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marsa. Akati lo nach nafshe de Rav. So he's telling a story about Rav. And shchakninu l'shmaita, listen to what we saw in Rav. And he's sort of testifying as to what he saw Rav do. Zimnin sagin havikayim nakami de Rav. On certain occasions, it was common for Rav. Chaviva le rifta, he was in the mood for pas. Mekadosh arifta, so he made kiddush on pas, on bread. Zimnin, on other occasions, Chaviv Lechamra, he was in the mood for Yayin, and therefore he would Mekadesh on Yayin. So apparently the Rambam wanted to reconcile these two statements. The first statement, quoted by the Gemara, in the name of Rav, that once he washes his hands, he shouldn't be Mekadesh. And that's a little bit odd. And then the Gemara goes on right immediately to tell us the story about Rav, that sometimes he was Mekadosh on Yayin, sometimes on Pas. So the Rambam wants to integrate these two statements, both are attributed to Rav, and fit them into one neat package. So if you take a look on the second source on your page, I mean, skipping the Rashbam for a minute, take a look at the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos Perek Chav Tes Halacha Yud, the second halacha, and then we'll go back to Halacha Tes. Mishin is kaving lekadish ala yayin belele Shabbos. This is how the Rambam interprets the sugya of Rav Bruna Amar Rav. His intention was to be mekadish on what? Yeah. On yayin. Veshachach v'notal yodav. He got distracted. And he washed his hands as if he was up to Lecha Mishnah, but really he's only up to Kiddush. And he did this Kodem Shi Yikadesh before he recited Kiddush. So had he followed through with his original intention, he would have recited Kiddush Al Yayin. But because he was Notal Yadayim in the middle, so the Rambam says, I raise him a Kaddish Al Pas.
Right.
He now has committed himself to the Pas. V'enam a Kaddish Al Yayin, achar she Notal Yadav L'suda. Now, this Rambam is a continuation of what the Rambam established in the previous halacha, where he brings down the story of Rav, la halacha, and he writes in halacha tes, Vayimis avala pas yesim in a yayin. Or he alternatively doesn't have yayin. Hare ze notal yod tchilu mevarech hamotzi, ziyeki minig, right? Umekadesh, viakach botzea viochel. So the Rambam here, in halacha tes, gives you the option of kiddush al a pass, and the Rambam says, if you mean Kaddish al pass, where does the Kiddush belong? Before the Netilas Yadayim or after the Netilas Yadayim?
After.
So the Rambam has Kiddush sandwiched in between the Netilas Yadayim and the Hamotzi, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's what the Rambam says. He said, Notal Yod Tchila, Mevarech Hamotzi. So what does the Rambam have? Notel Yodav Tchilu Mevarech Hamotzi Umekadesh. Oh, the Rambam has it even further, but bigger Kiddush. He can recite not only Netilas Yadayim first, but even Hamotzi first, and then he recites Kiddush. But one thing is absolutely clear in the Rambam, that there's no Hefsek issue over here. He could have easily chosen to be Mekadesh Al Yayin, but the Rambam, for some odd reason, holds that if he was Mekadesh If he was no till you're dying, he's already set himself, he's also committed himself to follow through with Kiddush al Pas, even though his original intention was what? Was to be Mekadosh al Yayin. If you go through the Rashbams on the other hand, the Rashbam here sees absolutely no connection between the first statement of Rabbuna Marav and the second statement about Rav. The first statement is an issue that focuses on Hefsek, and once he was Notel Yadayim, it's not the proper time to make Kiddush. Okay? And then the second statement of Rav, which is, you know, the two options of either making Kiddush al Yayin or making Kiddush al Pas, that's totally independent of the opening line in this Gemara, whereas the Rambam is combining the two. And he's saying that you have two choices as far as Kiddush is concerned. Which one should you choose? Well, it depends what's chavivale. But if you've already washed your hands, then Netilas Yadayim commits you to what? To make Kiddush al Pas. Now, why is that so? You see, if the Rambam was worried about Hefsek, Nicha. So within the context of Hefsek, you could say that Netilas Yadayim has to be followed through with Pas. But if the Rambam is not committed to Hefsek at all, he's not worried about Hefsek, then why is it that the Netilas Yadayim locks him in to Kiddush al Pas? So let's leave that question on the side, because again, we have a lot to do tonight, and I don't even know if that's going to be the focus of our discussion. So let's go on. The Rambam has another unbelievable chiddush regarding Kiddush, and that's the Rambam in Perek Chavtes Halach Yudal. You're all familiar with this famous, famous Rambam. Ein mekadshim ela al hayayin haroy lenisuch al gabi mizbeach. Lefichach, the Rambam passes two categories of wine for Kiddush. Number one, im nisarif bo dvash ocr, right? And this is what we call yain kanditon, is that's posel mizbeach, because we can't bring this yain on the mizbeach for nisuch hayayin. And then the Rambam goes on to say yain sherecho ra o magula o mevushal. That's where the Rambam comes in. That's why you have people, these Rambam fans, who run around with their own bottles of wine, you know, that are not mevushal, and of course they have it under lock and key because they don't want the they don't want the lady who cleans up the house to get a hold of them, right? And they make Kiddush only on that because they're machmir for the Shitas HaRambam. The Rambam says that Yayin, in order to be kosher for Kiddush, has to be roy lenisuch hayayin. So it's got to be straight wine without any admixtures of any sugars. And it's got to be Yayin she'eino mevushal. The question here is why? Well, where does the Rambam come from? I mean, the source for the Rambam is unclear. And the Ravid is also in disagreement with him. He quotes a Yushalmi, but I'm not sure exactly if the Yushalmi is a contradiction to the Rambam or not. The Yushalmi says, Mekadshim b'yayin kanditon. Now, assuming yayin kanditon has enough of a mixture, actually, the Rambam says that any mixture of dvash is, you see that, afilu tibas, hachardo b'chavis gdol ein mekadshin olav. So if you go with that shita, the Rambam, it's hard to say if the Rambam is accepting that shita, then the Yushalmi is explicitly against the Rambam. But we're more interested in the concept that underlies this. Why is there a connection between Kiddush and Nisuch Hayayin? And finally, another kasha that we want to add is the Rambam at the beginning of Perek Chavtes, Mehilcha Shabbos, Mitzvah Saseh Men HaTorah L'Kadesh Es Yom HaShabbos B'Dvorim, Shenemar Zochar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadesho. So the Rambam derives Kiddush as a mitzvah d'oraisa from the Pasuk Zochar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadesho. And now we have to figure out, okay, Zochar Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadesho, but how? What's the content of that pu'ul, of that action of Lakacho? Excuse me, what's the substance of it? And all the Rambam tells us, he's Megala Tefach, Mechaset Tfachayim here, he doesn't tell us much. Klomar, Zachreu, Zachiras, Shevach, Vekidush. In other words, recite something, declare something that is Shevach, that is praise to the Shabbos, and Kiddush, and sanctifies the Shabbos, but exactly what the substance or the content of that Shevach should be, in detail, the Rambam doesn't say here. But he does have a Nusach later on, and this is the nusach that we're pretty much familiar with us, to us. Kivano v'charta, v'yosonu kidashnu mikol amim, v'shavas kodshecha bi'ava uv'rotzon hinchaltonu. So we're talking about Shabbos Kodshecha in the possessive. Who possesses Shabbos? Who really possesses Shabbos?
Hashem.
Hashem, and yet He shares it with us. Bi'avo v'rotzon hinchaltonu. He gave us the Shabbos as a gift. Baruch ato Hashem, mekadesh haShabbos. So you have here both Shevach and Kiddush. The Shevach itself is the fact that God, you have chosen us, sanctified us by giving us your wonderful gift of Shabbos, and you've bestowed it upon us, bi'ava uv'rotzon. So once again, let's just review our three questions. Number one, according to the Rambam, why is it that once I'm notel yadayim, I've committed myself to Kiddush al pas? And Bechlal, what does it mean, Kiddush al pas? How is it fundamentally different than Kiddush al yayin? Number two, why does the Rambam disqualify yayin, sheina roi, lenaseach al gamim mizbeach for Kiddush? And question number three, when the Rambam says, zachreyu bezchira shevach v'kiddush, what is that all about? What is the content specifically, and the essence of that shevach to our Kodesh Baruch Hu for having given us Shabbos? And now here's where the Rav really goes into high gear. He points out that on every mitzvah we make a bracha. That's a berachas hamitzvah. The bracha has to be related to the maisa mitzvah, which principle in Hilchos Brachos really, really drives this home, really clarifies this, that the bracha is related to the maisa. Great, over L'Asiyah Tan. Over L'Asiyah Tan. That the bracha always has to be recited before the Asiyah. And before the Asiyah means as close as possible to the Asiyah. There should be a connection between the bracha and the Asiyah. So the Rav asked the following question. He says, I understand very well that in Netilas Lulav, for example, you can make the bracha before the Netilah. I understand you can make the bracha before the Achilas Matzah. Again, I don't know if the Rav gave those examples a long time ago, but what I don't understand, says the Rav, is how do you make a bracha over Lasiyosan in the case of Shabbos? What maisa are you being mevarech on? In fact, the only way of being mekadesh the Shabbos, or of the Kedusha Shabbos expressing itself in the active world, is losaseh, in do nots, in shevi al taseh, don't violate the Shabbos. So when the Torah says Shvira Shabbos, Shomer Yom Shabbos Lekadesh, how do I fulfill Shvira Shabbos? What action do I do to observe the Shabbos?
Don't do action.
No action. I don't do action. I abstain from action. In this case, the 39 Malachim. So a bracha on the Asiyah of Shabbos is impossible. So therefore, the Rav wants to suggest.
Excuse me. Isn't that an action? Even
what?
Though it's not a physical action, it's an action.
It's, you know, I would say it's a state of being, you know, being shoves, but I wouldn't say that there's an action that you can attach the bracha to. You know, at what moment are you going to isolate and pinpoint, this is the action I was commanded to do in order to sanctify the Shabbos? Well, what action are you going to point to? So it's a non-action, right? It's almost like v'nisem es nafsho seichem, which the Gemara calls a lav haba b'chal eseh. On Yom Kippur, what bracha are you going to make on v'nisem? V'nisa means abstain from achilach, same from shsia, from rechitza, from nilas asandal. So where are you going to make a bracha? So then how can you make a bracha on Kiddush, on Shabbos? So the Rav is mechadish this new yesod. Listen to this. That whereas all brachos related to mitzvos, almost all anyway, are related to the maisa mitzvah, there are a few brachos which are related to the gufa mitzvah. Okay, what's the difference between the Maisa Mitzvah and the Gufa Mitzvah? Shabbos itself is the Gufa Mitzvah.
Right.
With regard to the Mitzvah of Zochas Yom HaShabbos Lekadesho, it's the Shabbos that I'm making a bracha on. Right. The bracha is not on the Maisa, but on Shabbos itself. Mm-hmm. How do I be Mevarach on the Shabbos? Baruch Ata Hashem, Mekadesh HaShabbos. Now, this is a very abstract idea. Let's see if we can sort of take it down into, you know, bring it down from the higher worlds into our world. The Rav has an example from Mila. Listen to this. Very fascinating. Rabbeinu Tam Shita is, Yermoil, sorry, that the bracha is not over Lasiyosan. Now, when I say the bracha is not over Lasiyosan, we really have three brachas of Mila. There's the bracha ala Mila, then there's the bracha that the father recites, Lach Niso v'brisa shalom v'ram avinu. And then, okay, Shachiyonu as well. Okay, here they make Shachiyonu.
No,
in Eretz Yisrael we make Shachiyonu. And number three, leaving out Shachiyonu, is Asher Kidesh Yedid Mi Bet. So the Rav suggests the following. The first bracha, ala Mila, is a classic Birchas HaMitzvah and has to be attached to the Mice of Mila, and therefore the principle of Overlasiyosan will apply. The second bracha of Lach Niso, we'll get to that in just a minute, that's the gray mare area in the middle. That's the twilight zone. But Asher Kidesh Yedid Mi Beten, everyone agrees, even before the Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam, Kuli Amalo Pligi, that bracha is recited after the Mila. Says the Rav, why? Because the bracha is not on what? On the Maisa Mila, otherwise it would be before the Mila, but rather on what? On the Mila itself. What does that mean? See, in this case, before I get to Shabbos is a little bit more complicated, I can understand what the Rav means. When you make a bracha on Mila itself, what does Mila achieve? It brings you to the bris. Now, it doesn't mean that before the bris you're not Jewish. I didn't say that.
It brings you to shlemus.
Correct. It's a certain shlemus. It's a certain ben bris of briso shel Avraham Avinu, which I would say enhances your kedusha. You have a different status after the bris. Yeah. And to prove that you have a different status, take a look on page 2 for a split second. And you will see that the Rambam says that an Orel, Harehu kiben Nechar, in one sense, in one context, he has the same status as a ben Nechar, as
Kerben
a goy, with regard to what?
Kerben Pesach, yeah.
With regard to Avoda.
Oh, okay.
Here the Rambam is talking about Avoda. And a Kohen who's not Mahul, who's an Orel, is enjoined from doing the Avoda.
Right.
And not only that, if you take a look at the Pasuk in Yechezkel, at the bottom of page 1, you will see that the Navi himself compares an Orel to a Ben Nechar. So I wouldn't blame it totally on the Rambam. Because the Navi himself is talking about Kol Ben Nechar, Orel Lev, Vi Orel Basar. Lo Yavol Migdashi. So again, in terms of the Beis HaMikdash, we didn't quote that Rambam, but there's another Rambam in Hilchos Bias Migdash, which enjoins an Orel from coming in to the Beis HaMikdash. He's not allowed to do Avod if he's a Kohen. He's not allowed to eat Kodshim. And with regard to all these Dinim, the status of an Orel is that he's Mufka from Kedushas Yisrael Shlema. He doesn't have the full-fledged Kedushas Yisrael. Of course, we're not excluding him. There's a very famous story, I'm sure you all heard of it, that there were children back in Europe who weren't gemalt, and the question was whether they could be allowed entry into the Jewish schools. And there were a number of rabbonim at a certain convention of rabbonim that wanted to paskin that since they are reilim and the parents weren't taking care of them mila, that we should take a very harsh stand on this and not let them go to Jewish schools. Preclude them, exclude them. So Reb Chaim got up at the meeting in front of all the Rabbanim and he said, Vushtayt, where does it say that an Orel is not Jewish? A lot of people think that if you're an Orel, you don't have Mila, so you don't have Kedushas Yisrael. That's not true, Reb Chaim said. And therefore, we are committed to offer them a Torah education. Of course, hopefully when they get older, they'll undergo Mila. But again, we're not arguing with Reb Chaim over here. We're not crossing swords. There's no question about it. An Orel is still a Ben Yisrael. But I wouldn't say he has all the Kedusha of Ben Yisrael. And with regard to certain aspects of mitzvot, especially Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, he's considered like a Ben Nechar. So the Bris Mila now is an action which brings a new state of being. It generates a state of Ben Bris. It adds and enhances the Kedushas Yisrael Shleimu Gemura of Briso Shel Avraham Avinu. And therefore the bracha, Asher Kidesh Yedin Mi Beten, V'chok B'Sha'ero Sam, etc. That bracha is recited after the Mila. Baruch HaTashem Koreis HaBris means on the bris that we have already had the opportunity to take this child into, he's entered into the bris, he now has the kedusha, not just of mibeten, but also the kedusha of chok b'sheiro sam, of the bris milah. So we now begin to see that there is such a concept as a bracha, not before the ma'isa mitzvah, but on the mitzvah itself, the gufa shel mitzvah, the kedushas Yisrael that emanates from the mitzvah, and the Rav wants to attach the sheet of Rabbeinu Tam to this approach. Rabbeinu Tam says in Psachim, if you take a look on page 2, it's the third source on your page, that with regard to the bracha that the father recites, which is Lachniso Bibriso Shel Avraham Avinu, Rabbeinu Tam disagrees with the Rashba, one of the Balei HaTosfos, and insists that just like the bracha of Asher Kidesh Yedid Mibeten that we discussed before is recited after the Bila, so to the bracha of the father, Lachniso Bibriso, is recited after the Mila. And he bases himself on a brisa, which you'll see on the third line in that quote. A Gemara in Shabbos, Taf Kufla, Amid Zayin, Amid Beis. Tanya Hamol Omer Asher Kinshon Mitzosval Amila. And it's mashma that now the Moel, after reciting that bracha, will do the Mila. And then after the Mila, that's how Rabbeinu Tam reads the brisa. Avi Aben Omer Lach Niso, Mashma Liachar Amila Makomo. Now this has a bearing on the sugya of al and liv, because usually a bracha with a lamid is a bracha over liasios and lasos on the asiyah. So why is it lach niso? So that's a problem according to Rabbeinu Tam. But be that as it may, whichever solution Rabbeinu Tam comes up with, he says that the bracha really is al knisaso libriso shel Avraham Avinu, which should be with an al, because it's happening, the bracha is recited after the milah. And not only that, Rabbeinu Tam goes on and equates it towards the end of that Tosfos. V'ein tzarech levarech over lasiyosa el b'mokom she'ha'osa ha'mitzvah hu ha'mevarech. In other words, in this case, that the Moel is doing the Mila, then there's halacha. If the mevarech is the osa ha'mitzvah, then there's halach of overlasiyosin. So in regard to the Moel, who's the osa mitzvah, he'll make the bracha ala mila before the mila. But in the case of Lach Niso, he's not the osa mitzvah. So therefore his bracha can no way, no how be related to the asiya. And therefore, says Rabbeinu Tam, birchas erusin, which again is the bracha that's recited generally by the Masada Kiddushin, not by the Makadish himself, because again, it's not the Osa HaMitzvah who's being Mevarech, says the Rav. According to Rabbeinu Tam, we have two mitzvos now, where the bracha comes after the Asiyas HaMitzvah, and why? Because it's not the Mevarech is not the Osa HaMitzvah, so the bracha is not Chal on the Asiyas HaMitzvah. So the Rav asks, so what is the bracha Chal on? Every bracha has to be related to something. So he says that in the case of Mila, the Lachniso Bibriso Kointer Ben Tam is related to the Knisa of Bris, the Chalushem Ben Bris, that's Chal as a result of the Maisa Mila, and that Chalushem Ben Bris is something that exists. It's in the world, it's tangible, it's not gone like an Asiya, and therefore you can make a bracha on it. And so too in the case of Erisin, which generates issues, the bracha is not on the Maisa Kiddush, the Maisa Erisin, but rather on the Chalos issues.
So how do you explain the father, that Moel is just being a shaliach?
Well,
so actually you're doing it on behalf of the father.
So that's good. That's very, very sharp, because what that means is that we have a case of the Osa HaMitzvah is the Mevarech, and therefore, whenever I send you as my shliach, you will be mevarech just as I would be, because you're doing the asiya on my behalf. But the problem is that there's certain brachos that aren't made by the osa mitzvah. And that's lach niso in the case of the father, because he's not doing the asiya. Again, what would be if the father was the moel? That's an interesting discussion, but you know, we're not going to get into that now. Assuming there's a moel and the father is making a bracha, and yet he's not the osa mitzvah. Yeah. And in the case of Erisin, if there's a Masada Kiddushin and he's making the bracha, he's not the osa mitzvah. It's so you, in other words, the osa mitzvah is the Makadish. He gives all the tabas. The Mavarech is the Masada Kiddushin. Wasn't it that way?
Yes.
Not so long ago, right? And what?
I'm talking, but he makes the brachas before you.
Okay, because we don't paskin like Rabbeinu Tam. Al Minig is not like Rabbeinu Tam. But I'm just saying Rabbeinu Tam's logic is that the bracha is not related to the asiyah, therefore you drop the overall asiyah, son. And the Rav says that what's the underlying concept of Rabbeinu Tam, he doesn't spell it out Rabbeinu Tam, is that the bracha is not on the Maisa Mitzvah, but on the result of the Maisa Mitzvah, the new state of being. The chalos state, the chalos. This is typical brisk, you know, this is Mamish, the brisk and Derek Parek Salats, to differentiate between the Maisa and the chalos HaMaisa. I mean, this is where Rav Chaim really broke new ground. Already, now it's already so well trodden, we don't even remember that Rav Chaim was the revolutionary.
And then thought like that before?
Yes, Rabbeinu Tam thought like that, but he didn't spell it out. You see, that's the greatness of Rav Chaim. He gave us the tools. You know, somebody invented a fork, a knife, and a spoon. So how did they eat before that? They found a way. You know, it was like what my Schwer calls the lechtige fish. You know, in Bells, what happens is they give out the fish, you know, at the Kiddush, and the Rebbe, and you don't take it with a fork. So once I was invited, because of my Schwer, I was invited into the Bells of Rebbe's Kiddush. So everybody started eating the fish that the Rebbe gave out, and I was looking at my plate. So the Rebbe says to his Heusbacher, bring him a guppel, you know, bring him a fork. And I felt like such a litvak amongst chassidim, because you don't eat fish with your hands, you know what I'm saying? So even before the fork, knife, and spoon was invented, we had a way of eating. People didn't starve to death. But the tools, that's what Reb Chaim gave us. He gave us the tools, the terminology. And that's really, in a parallel sense, what science is all about. I mean, they were great scientists, but what develops in science are the nomenclature, the terms, the categories, the differentiations, you know, with research. So Reb Chaim gave us this kind of thing. There's a Maisa and there's a Chalos HaMaisa. Says Reb Chaim, there are two categories. No, this is not Reb Chaim, this is already the Rav. But the Rav says there are two categories of brachos. Most brachos are on what?
The
Maisa Mitzvah. And how do you gauge that? What's the barometer?
Over
Lasiyosin. There are some brachos where the bracha wasn't established on the Maisa Mitzvah, but rather on the Chalos, on the Kedushas Yisrael that emanates from the Bris, or the Ishus that emanates from the Maisa Kedushin. The Rav says, therefore, Rabbeinu Tam holds that the bracha is recited after the Maisa Mila on the bris itself, after the Maisa Kedushin on the Ishus itself. So Rav Chaim is not saying that he invented this. Obviously, Rabbeinu Tam thought of this. And every finish in the Rambam, rather, Rav Chaim would say, when you meet the Rambam, he's going to say, yeah, that's what I meant. Are you skeptical?
No. So I just one thing with regard, when we're talking about gerus, right? And they ask with regard to the bracha on gerus, you make the bracha afterwards, and the answer which is always given is because he could not make the bracha before. Why wouldn't anybody give this idea with regards to gerus?
Baruch Shekivanta, the Rav gave this idea. The Rav, when we learned Psachim, explained that the reason why this bracha is meaningful. Ala Tvila in the case of Ger, even after the Maisa Tvila. So the Gemara says, well, there was no other choice because a Gavril Ochozi. I understand, but the Rav said, okay, a Gavril Ochozi. That's why the Bracha couldn't be before the Tvila. He's a guy. But after the Tvila, it's too late to make the Bracha. The Rambam says over and over again in many different contexts that Masha Asa Asa, you can't make a Bracha after the Asiyah. So the Rav said, because like you said, Joe, very well, the Bracha is not on the Maisa Tvila, but on the Chal Hashem Kedushas Yisrael that results from the Maisa Tvila. When the guy is now a Jew. In fact, this would prove that Mila is not just a mitzvah like any other mitzvah, that Mila generates Kedushas Yisrael. In the case of a Ger, Shabbos Geyer, he could do everything. He could do all the tefillos in the world, and all the Kabbalah's mitzvahs. And he's Zeir Frum, you know, he's telling, yeah, I'm going to do all the mitzvahs. And at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, he'll bring his Karban Ager. He's very good. But he's missing one thing, Mila. If he's missing Mila, then he's an RL. An RL can't become a Ger. An RL can't. RLus and Gerus are mutually exclusive. And what you see from that is in the extreme case of a guy who's completely excluded from Kedushas Yisrael, you see that the Mila is necessary to engender the Kedushas Yisrael. In the case of a Kidesh Yedid Mi Bet and of a Jew who's born a Jew, true, the Leda itself precipitates Kedushas Yisrael, but you need the Mila to clinch that Kedushas Yisrael.
But there's still a bracha for the bris, all garrison.
Which bris? The Ala Mila?
No, for the goy, for the bris for conversion.
There's a bracha for the Mila? I don't remember that. Yeah. I thought the bracha's on the tefillah.
No, well, no, but when you make a bracha, I've done that a number of times.
But the moel says it, right?
Not yeah, the moel. But not the, of course, yeah. If a baby's a baby or whoever.
Are we talking about a baby or an older person? Because if it's a baby, that's already ger kart matbil nosan al das bezdin. That might be a little bit different.
Yeah, that could be different, yeah.
If it's an older, I don't know if we make the bracha on the mila or just on the tefillah. I have to check that out. I plead the fifth right now, you know. You know, the last time I was at a mila of a gadol, you know, was when the Russians first came to Israel. You know, they used to. I have to check that out. All right. In any event, how does this all kick into our discussion about Shabbos? That's what I want to. Now we can. What do you
think? So would that differentiate like all mitzvos? Like if you say the bracha before, that's a.
I would say in every single mitzvah, you should ask yourself the following question: A, is the bracha recited before the mitzvah or after the mitzvah? In 9 out of 10 cases, your answer will be, 99 out of 100, before the mitzvah. That's called overlasio. So if you find a mitzvah, and the bracha is recited after the mitzvah, then according to the Rav, you should automatically ask yourself, is there a halos? Is there some impact of that mitzvah that changes some sort of status of a person? Mm-hmm. And the Rav is going to apply that logic to the bracha that we make on Shabbos. Because what the Rav claims, and this is the mind-boggling chiddush that I wanted to share with you, and that's what all these pages are going to be about if we have time to go through them, is that Shabbos is not a mitzvah like every other mitzvah. Shabbos is mekadesh the individual. His kedusha is enhanced by the observance of Shabbos.
Yeah,
and his proof is, if you take a look on the bottom of page 1, no, excuse me, on the top of page 2, the second source, the Gemara says in Chulin that there's a concept called a mumar. Now, a mumar, generally speaking, is related to an oved avodah zarah. He's a mumar.
There's two kinds, wasn't there? There's a mumar tavan and a mumar called Arkula.
Yeah, but I'm talking about an oved avodah zarah. In oved avodah zarah, any Ovid of Hodazara is a Mumar L'chol Tarkula. We don't differentiate L'Teyoven or L'Hachis.
Right.
That's
no,
by definition.
Right.
There are other Averas where even if you violate the Avera, which would not generate Mumars, but you do it L'Hachis, you become like an Ovid of Hodazara. But that's not what we're discussing tonight. What we're discussing tonight is the case of Mechal Shabbos. What kind of Mechal Shabbos? Befarhesya. If it's Chil Shabbos Befarhesya, then he has the status of a Mumar. Now take a look at the Rambam. When the Rambam paskins this halacha, do I have it here? Tell me I didn't get a chance to do this. I was doing this all right before we came here. Here it is. Good. This is the fourth source on page 2. The Rambam says in Hilchos Shabbos Perek Lamed, this is the last halacha in Hilchos Shabbos, 30 prakh. The Rambam says, HaShabbos V'Avodah Zorah Kol achas mishtehen shkula keneged shar kol mitzvos haTorah. Va'shabbos hi ha'os shebein hakadosh baruch hu uveinenu li'olam. Lefichach kol ha'over al shar mitzvos harei b'chal rishei Yisrael. He's not a mumar. Avol mechal Shabbos befarhesya hareyu ka'oved avodah zarah u'shneim kegoyim l'chol divrayim. Now let's stop here before we see the Lefichach. What the Rambam is saying before the Lefichach is that a violation of the Shabbos publicly is a statement, is a testimony that God, Chas V'Shalom, did not create the world, which is a basic fundamental violation of the Ikrei Adas, and puts him into a category like that of an Oved Avodah Zarah. And the Rav asked a very simple question. He doesn't understand. Why is Chil Shabbos Bifarhesya generate Mumris? If it's the Chomer HaAvera, if it's that this Avera is such an Avera Chamura, what difference does it make whether you violate that Avera publicly or privately? If you eat Nevela or Trefa, there's no difference whether you eat it publicly or privately. It's the same Avera. But apparently what you have to say is it's not the Avera that generates Mumris. It's the result of the Avera. The result of the Avera is that he's undermining the testimony that a person has to give through Shmira Shabbos that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. And when he vitiates that whole testimony, and thereby he undermines the Shabbos and the statement of the Shabbos, the Amunah, the faith of the Shabbos that Hashem created the world, he becomes now a Mumar. He becomes someone who's out of the pale of Klal Yisrael. Lefichach, now take a look at this Lefichach. Mishabeach Hanovi V'Omer, he quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu Hanovi, Ashrei Enosh Yasezos, Uben Adam Yachzik Ba. Shomer Shabbos Milchalolo Michalolo. And then the Rama goes on based on the lead of Yeshayahu HaNavi. Yeshayahu HaNavi has already blazed the trail for us of being Meshabeach, he who observes the Shabbos. And the Rama gives us a whole list of things called Shomer Shabbos Kilchosam, Mechavda, Ozdesanik Hashem, Mechalti. So what's going on over here? Pasach B'Mumar, V'Siyim B'Shomer Shabbos. It's very odd, and in the middle between this, the Reish and the Sefer, this Rambam is sandwiched, is the hook of Lefichach. Says the Rav, what the Rambam wants to tell you is that there are two sides of the same coin. What does it mean that the Navi is Meshabeach, the Shomer Shabbos, by saying Ashrei Enosh? What does Ashrei Enosh mean? Ashrei Enosh, the Rambam interpret, means that through his testimony, by observing the Shabbos, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he is on a different level. He is Niskadesh B'Kedushas HaGavra as a result of his observance of the Shabbos. Shabbos changes his, it transforms his personality. The flip side of it is a Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesya who forfeits the Kedushas Yisrael, and his din is equivalent to that of a guy. So the Rambam wants to point out that it goes both ways, from two opposites. If you observe the Shabbos, it enhances and elevates your Kedushas Yisrael. If, on the other hand, you violate the Shabbos, then it detracts from your Kedushas Yisrael, it completely rescinds your Kedushas Yisrael, and you end up being like a guy. And before we go on to read some of the pages that I photocopied for you, I want to point out, because this is exciting to me, I love doing this kind of thing, that the Rav has, in a different Yahrzeit shiur, has two other mitzvahs that he adds to this list, where the mitzvah is not a ma'aseh mitzvah greater, it just doesn't exhaust itself in a ma'aseh mitzvah, but it enhances the Kedushas HaGavra. One is tefillin.
Is what?
Tefillin. The Rav claims, based on a long Rambam in Hilchos Tefillin, which maybe we'll get a chance to go through, that tefillin is not a ma'aseh mitzvah of hanocha, like shofar is a ma'aseh mitzvah of shmiya, or the tilas lulav is the tila. The mitzvah of tefillin, above and beyond the ma'aseh hanocha, is kiddush hagavra. And the Rav is so excited about this. Again, we'll see the Rambam, how he puts it into the Rambam. Maybe we'll find the Rambam here. The Rambam says about tefillin, that when a person wears tefillin, do you remember that Rambam? Yeah. Perek Dalet Halach Chafei, in Hilchos Tefillin. Kedushas tefillin, kedushas on gedolehi. The tefillin has such great kedusha, Shekolzman shatfilin berosha shaladam, who honor of your shemayim and in imshap pischok who besicha b'teila and everything else. And therefore, the Rambam says tzarich le'adam l'shtav lios olav kol hayom. So the Rav asks, what's going on in this Rambam? This is so atypical of the Rambam. You know, if it was a Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, maybe, but in Mishneh Torah, where he's codifying the halacha, all of a sudden he waxes dramatic and poetic, and he tells you about all the impact of tefillin, how he's an onav and he's Yerushamayim and Einu Nimshaf Bischok Ubesicha V'Teila. Well, what's that all about?
So he's bringing him up to another madrega.
Exactly. That's what the Rav. You see, this is how a Briska learns a Rambam. He says the Rambam is telling you a halacha, that there's kiddush hagavra. Tefillin is not just a ma'aseh mitzvah. And based on this chiddush, the Rav goes on to say that's why we make two brachas on tefillin. Why isn't one bracha sufficient? Okay, I only make one bracha. But for those who make two brachas...
Why do you only make really? One bracha?
I only make no bracha. This is Chari, that's only one bracha. In fact, most Rishonim hold you only make one bracha. It's a pella to me that people make two brachas. Somebody told me that those who make two brachas recite Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus.
Yeah,
because there's no point to make the second bracha. Okay, I don't want to get into politics here. They'll throw me out here, you know.
You still use a fork for fish.
That's right. That's why I only make one bracha on tefillin. But the Rav says the following. Why are there two brachas on tefillin? Certainly one bracha should suffice. Because tefillin is one. Even if it's two mitzvahs, tefillin shall yad, tefillin shall rush. But still, when we do two mitzvahs with the same heading, right? If you do two shchitas or two milas, you only make one bracha on both. Unless there's a hefsek in between. So the Rav says, if there's no hefsek between the tefillin shal yad, tefillin shal rush, why do you make a second bracha? So he wanted to say the second bracha is on the mitzvah of kiddush hagafra. And that's why the second bracha is specifically related to which tefillin? Not tefillin shal yad, but tefillin shal rush. Now the Rav goes a step further. He says there's another mitzvah that has two dimensions to it. Not just the ma'isa mitzvah, but the kiddush hagafra that results from the ma'isa mitzvah. Okay. Talmud Torah. Now you know what a litvak is all about. Mm-hmm. A litvak is all about Talmud Torah. Teire. And the Rav says that that's the meaning of the Mishnah in Avos. That Rabbi Meir says in the sixth parak of Avos. Maybe I'll find it as I'm stalling for time. Rabbi Meir Omer, kol ha'osek b'torah lishma, zocha l'dvarim harbe, nikra rea, v'ohuv, u'malbashto anova v'yira. Sounds a little bit similar to the Rambam in Perek Dalet Milchas Tefillah Halacha of Hey. The Gemara, the Mishnah, is talking about the impact of Talmud Torah. Again, right. It's got to be Lishma. And once again, the Rav is going to claim there are two brachas on Talmud Torah. One is Lasok, or Al Divrei Torah, and that's on the Maisa Mitzvah, the intellectual pursuit of studying Torah. And there's another bracha.
Asher Baruch Abba?
No, Asher Baruch Abba is a Birchas HaShevach. That's a whole... That bracha you can make any time. It has nothing to do with this. Vaharev no. Which, by the way, doesn't open with a bracha because it's a bracha smucha l'chavrata. And you have to ask why, why it's a bracha arucha, a matbe'a aruch. But be that as it may, there are many questions to ask. But one thing I can answer you, according to the Rav, why is there a second bracha? What's the second bracha on?
On the Kiddush HaGavra. Why don't you say it after you learn Torah then? Usually when it's on the Kiddush HaGavra, usually when it's on the Chalos Shem, you say it afterwards. So maybe we should say a few psukim, and then
That's a good question. Yeah, you're right. But the end of the bracha is l'shma, so the Rav connects it to this Mishnah. Is the where's the kiddush hagavra l'chora? It's after the limud.
Well, the shma is not bashkas.
I'll tell you what it is. Even when the bracha is on the kiddush, sometimes the bracha is on the ma'isa that brings about the kiddush, and sometimes the bracha is on the kiddush itself. So, for example, in the bracha of lachniso according to Rabbeinu Tam, the bracha is on the kiddush itself. And not related to the Maisa. In the case of Erisin, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the bracha is on the Ishus, and not related to the Maisa. But in the case of Tfilin and Talmud Torah, the bracha is on the Kiddush, but it's linked up to the Maisa. And therefore, before I put on the Tfilin Shal Rosh, I make the bracha. But the nafkamina will be, let's say I didn't make the bracha before I put on Tfilin Shal Rosh. Now, wait a minute, you guys have to help me here, because I never made this bracha in my life. Not once. So when do you make the bracha? Baruch Hashem, okay, so I'm not misleading you. And now what happens if, let's say, you forgot to make the bracha? I'm pretty sure you make the bracha afterwards.
You
make it afterwards, because the tefillin and the kiddush is an ongoing, continuous situation, so you can still make the bracha. In Talmud Torah, the same. Let's say you didn't make the bracha before you started learning Torah. You can make it after you started learning the Torah. All right, the Gaon would say that's because every single limud is a mitzvah to itself.
You would do the same with Laniach.
No, because Laniach is not on the Kiddush HaGavra. I'm saying, the difference between Al Mitzvah's Tefillin and Lehaniach is that, let's say you didn't make Laniach, I don't think you can make it afterwards unless you take it off and put it on.
You would move
the Mishmash. Okay. You do Mishmash.
While you're wearing it, it's still a continuous mitzvah. Meaning, by lulav.
So you don't need Kiddush HaGavra. You're right. But it's a little sharper if you say Kiddush HaGavra. You know, then you know, in the light of this whole. So again, Michael, you have a good question. Why is it that some brachos with regard to Kiddush HaGavra are recited before the Asiyah and others after the Asiyah? And we have to categorize them. So take a look here on the second page of Yomar Makomos. And we begin to see that many different statements in Chazal begin to make sense. They take on new meaning. For example, take a look at the Gemara in Be'ah on Daf Tes Zayin. Two Gemaras. The first Gemara darshins the pasuk Adas ki ani Hashem mekadishchem. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. Moshe, matana tova yesh li bebeis kenazai v'shabishma. V'ani mevakesh litno li Yisrael. Lech v'hodiyo sam. In other words, Shabbos is a matana. Now every mitzvah is a matana. What makes Shabbos unique that it's called a matana? And the answer is that the Kedusha Shabbos is not just something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps in his base Gnozim, but he also shares it with Klal Yisrael, so that the Kedusha of Shabbos is, what shall I say, is contagious, and it impacts on the person who puts himself, thrusts himself into Shabbos and observes the Shabbos. And Reish Lakish in the same sugya says, Neshama Yisera Nosen HaKadosh Baruch Hu Biyodam. This is the source for the concept of Neshama Yisera. What is the Neshama Yisera? Again, you know, in philosophical terms, we could, mystical terms, we could give all sorts of explanations. But in halachic terms, the Neshama Yisera is an expression of the Kiddush HaGavra. As a result of the Tosefis Kiddusha of Shabbos, a person is endowed with an extra Neshama, it's an extra spiritual power. And now we understand why Shabbos is called an Os. It's an Os because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually sharing with Bnei Yisrael that Kiddush of Shabbos, and if you apply that to the case of Tefillin, it's also an ois. It doesn't surprise me that both Tefillin and Shabbos is an ois. I don't know why the Rav didn't point this out. It's so tzugapas for the Rav to have said
that's
this.
That's why we wouldn't need Tefillin on Shabbos, because...
Correct! We already have the Kiddush of the ois, so we don't need another Kiddush of the ois.
Yeah, the Rav would have pointed that this year would have been another 5 hours.
Yeah, right. It was only 4 hours. If you take a look at the Ramban, Ala Torah, the Ramban goes into a long discussion about Zachar Yom Shabbos L'Kadosh. The Ramban's famous shita that the whole week long we have to fulfill the mitzvah of Zachar. Not the way the Rambam holds that the mitzvah of Zachar is only on Shabbos itself. And why is it so fundamental, says the Ramban, that we remember the Shabbos the entire week? Why is it this testimony about Shabbos so important? And if you read through this Ramban carefully, you'll see that the Kedusha Shabbos represents many different fundamental concepts, not just Briyas HaOlam. If you take a look towards the end of the Ramban, he says, Omru Zal Shabbos Shkula Kineg Kol Mitzvah HaTorah, that's the sugya of Mumer that we saw before, Mipnei Sheba, with the Shabbos, Noid, we testify, Al Kol Ikrei HaEmunah. Wow, that's a heavy statement to the Ramban. I would bold this, I would underline this. This is something we should put on a big banner, and we should mamish walk around with this. The Ramban says, "Bechidush haolam, bashkacha pratis, binevua." And again, I didn't bring you the whole Ramban, I just truncated it, but the Ramban goes into detail about how Shabbos is important, not just for the belief in creation, but it's a testimony about other aspects of the Ikrei HaEmuna. And the Ramban quotes a Medrash, which I have copied for you on the bottom. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says, Shabbos, Omra Shabbos Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Lechulam Yesh Ben Zug, right? Aleph with Beis, Gimel with Dalet, Hey and Vav, Veli Ein Ben Zug, Omra HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Knesset Yisrael, He Ben Zugcha, or Ben Zugech. It means that Knesset Yisrael and the Shabbos have a marriage partnership. It reminds me of what the Rav said about Erison, that Erison is a chalos. And here too, the relationship between Knesset Yisrael and Shabbos creates a chalos. And it converts, it transforms, it upgrades Klal Yisrael into a new level because of their connection, their binding to the Kedusha Shabbos. And therefore it's no coincidence that if a person violates the Shabbos publicly, that desecration generates mumeris and takes him out of the status as a Jew. He forfeits his Kedushas Yisrael. And on the flip side, as we said before, if he's Shomer Shabbos, then it enhances his Kedushas Yisrael. And here I would ask you to open up to page Kuf Chaf Vav. Do you have Kuf Chaf Vav or not? And if you take a look at the bottom of the page, here's the punchline that we mentioned before. And I underline the key words, kiyuma, the fulfillment of Shabbos. Do you see that? On the next to last line of the text, Mekadesh es hagavra. I wrote in a footnote here for myself to look in the other piece, which is in, you know, this is two volumes, which is in the other volume. And if you go on to Kuf Chaf Zion on top, again, I just underlined the main features here. The Rav says that Kedushas Yisrael Nifgemes Al Yedei Chilul Shabbos. What do you think the word Nifgemes means? That's a modern Hebrew word. What?
Becomes less.
Yeah, it's diminished. It's contaminated. It's blemished. Correct. Excellent. Blemished. I like that word. V'im shlilas haShabbos go remes hafkoas kedusha hare azika hachiyuvis eleo mishameshes kimakar kedusha. And therefore, the next paragraph, the Rav says that Shmira Shabbos has two distinct dimensions to it. Number one, Shomer Es Yom HaShabbos LeKadsho, which makes it a mitzvah like any other mitzvah. But number two, there's a second dimension to Shabbos, and that is when a person, through the observance of Shabbos, testifies his emunah, he's called Kuloy Emunah, is Bevadei Mekadesh Es HaGavra, the Kiddush HaGavra, is the second dimension, the enhancement of his Kedushas Yisrael. And now if you turn to page Kuf Chav Ches, you will see that the Rav quotes the Ramban, which we mentioned before, and the Medrash of the Ramban. And he says, in the last paragraph on the page, Sha'ar HaKedushos Lo Kodmu LeBechiras Yisrael V'Adarab HaKedush Yisrael Kodmu Lehem V'Yisrael Hema HaMekadshim. The Rav has this thesis that in general, it's Klal Yisrael that generates the Kedusha. Let's say, for example, the case of Yontif, we say Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael V'Azmanim. So you have the Kedushas Yisrael, and then you have the Kedushas Hazmanim. Or take, for example, the Kedusha of Aaron. Right? So there's first the Shmiras Shivas Yimei Miluim, and that generates a Kiddush to Aaron. In Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and Migdosh, there's again a Kiddush process that generates the Kedusha. They have to enter into Eretz Yisrael, and then be Makadish. The same thing applies to Kedushas HaMoadim. And that's why the Gemara says in Beita, that's the bottom of Kuf Chaf Ches, that the Chasima of the Brach is Makadish Yisrael, Veha Zmanim, because the Kedushas HaZmanim is a Poel Yotze, it's an effect that's generated by the Maisa Kiddush on the part of Bnei Yisrael. However, not so in the case of Kedusha Shabbos. In the case of Kedusha Shabbos, and we're going on to the top of page Kuf Chav Tes, is that sanctity Kodma LeBechiras Yisrael. This is one Kedusha that came into existence before the Kedushas Yisrael. And that's very fascinating. The Rav bases this to a large extent on a medrash, which is, again, if you flip back to Kuf Chav Ches, V'hine, it's the next last paragraph, V'hine ha-medrash, Yalkut Shimoni, says, Shalosh Kedusha, saying, Kedusha Shmo Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kedusha Shabbos, and Kedusha Shon Shal Yisrael. So the Rav wants to understand, why is it that in this medrash, the Kedusha Yisrael is mentioned last? I mean, there are many Kedushos that are all affected or precipitated by Yisrael, whether it's Kedushas Kuna, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Kedushas Migdosh, Kedushas Moadim. And here, we start with Kedushas Shmo, we go on to Kedushas HaShabbos, and then finally, at the end of this trilogy, we end up with Kedushas Yisrael. Why? So the answer is that Kedushas Shabbos comes before Kedushas Yisrael. And this is the method through which the Kedusha Shmo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu filters down to the Kedushas Yisrael. What is the Metavech in the middle? What is the agent, the pipeline that brings the Kedushas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the ultimate Kedusha, down to the Kedushas Yisrael? It's the Shabbos. HaMekadesh Es HaShabbos Hu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't have the power to sanctify the Shabbos. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctifies the Shabbos, then the Shabbos, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Shabbos is Mekadesh Yisrael. Ketzad Hu, who is with the capital H, Mekadesh Yisrael, right? Al Yidei Nesinas HaShabbos. Belik Dushas HaShabbos. Yisrael Lo Hayu Miskadshin. There could not be Kedushas Yisrael without Shabbos. Shabbos is the vehicle that generates Kedushas Yisrael. That's why it's first. That's why Kedush Shabbos is first in the list of the Shalosh Kedushos. And that's why the Shabbos was given before Matan Torah. Lachein Nitna Shabbos B'mara. Vatorah Hizkira, Shabbos is mentioned in Luchos Shnius Al Kain Tziva Hashem Elokecha, which the Gemara says in Sanhedrin and Vav, Kasher Tzivcha B'mara. Lirmos, says the Rav, Ki al yidei nesinas of b'mara hischil talich kiddush am Yisrael shenistayim kula b'sinai. We think that the Kabbalas Nasa v'nishma of Sinai is the Mekadesh of Klal Yisrael. That's not precise. It's the Sof kiddush of Klal Yisrael. The kiddush of Klal Yisrael began in Mara with the mitzvah of Shabbos. And the honest truth is, if I can digress a little bit from what the Rav is saying, that I suspect that the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em is also Mekadesh HaGavra. And according to one statement Rashi quotes in Chumash in the Mechilta, Kibud Av V'Em was also given in Mara. And I would say the following, the Aruch HaShulchan says, I think we once mentioned it here, that Kibud Av V'Em is a mitzvah shenispashta b'chol v'loshon v'mitzvah sichlis and so forth and so on. Right. I don't agree with the Aruch HaShulchan. I'm a big Aruch HaShulchan fan, but I don't agree with this particular statement of the Aruch HaShulchan. On the contrary, if you go through the sugyas of Kibud Av V'Em from A to Z, you will see that Kibud Av V'Em is not similar to what the Umas HaOlam with their mitzvah sichlios would ever come up with. And now's not the time to go into it, but I really believe that Gimel Shutfim Bi Adam, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, what he's telling us is that we're now connecting to the Ribono Shel Olam himself. Hu Kash Kvodom L'Kvod HaMakom. Ad Kedei Kach, the Gemara is a half a minute that your father tells you to violate the Shabbos. There might be a half minute that you violate the Shabbos. Hishva kosuv kvodo l'kvod mokom. Kvod aviv v'imo l'kvod Shabbos. I'm not sure which covenant is greater, the covenant for Shabbos or the covenant for Kibud Av V'Em. And let's just finish this up with the next paragraph, and then again, we'll try to, B'li Neder, come back to this, and we still have to answer all our kashas from the beginning. He says, that's why in Shacharis we say, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko. Right, you remember we discussed that Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have a great gift. You have a matana tova gnuza. It's up there in Shamayim. It's only a reflection of your Kedusha. We need it down here to impact on us. Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko. Klil teferis b'rosh anasatolo. And what is this klil? What is this glorious crown that's given to Klal Yisrael, given to Moshe Rabbeinu? It's the pasuk of Shmir Shabbos. V'kosavem Shmir Shabbos v'chein kosav b'sarasecha. What is this all about, this tefillah, if not about the kiddush of Am Yisrael through Moshe Rabbeinu, who brings down and realizes, materializes the nesina of this great gift of Shabbos. Lefichach, therefore, we quote in the tefillah the pasuk v'shamru. Because that pasuk v'shamru, which mentions the Oz Bris, indicates the kiddush of Klal Yisrael by entering the Bris of Shabbos, and without that Bris of Shabbos, the entire process of Bechiras Yisrael would be absolutely impossible. We start with that tefillah on the Leil Shabbos, we say Ata Kiddashta, and that refers to the kiddush of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore Shabbos is up there in the Beis Knozos, it's up there in the treasures of the heavenly spheres. But then when we get to Shacharis, then we testify, Yismach Moshe b'matnas chelko, ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kideshes klal Yisrael, through the Shabbos. The Shabbos is Mekadesh Klal Yisrael. So I just want to end the Shia by expressing my tefillah on behalf of everyone that we should be zocha to be mekayim the Shabbos, and not just perfunctorily. Unfortunately, sometimes we just do it by rote from one Shabbos to the next, right. But do it with the feeling, with the precise appreciation for what Shabbos. How Shabbos impacts on us, and how the Kiddush of Klal Yisrael is enhanced with every Shmirah Shabbos, and that every moment of Shabbos should be precious to us. And in that way, we'll certainly be Ola Mala Mala, as we should, Michael Al Chayil, with the Kiddush of Klal Yisrael, the Kiddush of Shabbos. Amen.